ladies and gentlemen, the City of Dunedin Pipe Band.
Thank you. I think they're live. Go ahead and try that one right in front of you.
Is this live? Yeah, you hear it. I thought we'd take 2 minutes and give the girls a chance to take a rest. Explain just a couple of things. The theme behind the folk art weekend this week is Celtic African. And it's very appropriate because the Scottish bagpipe, although the bagpipes have been adopted by Scotland as their instrument, it's funny and quite interesting to tell you that if you took the bagpipes and took them apart, you'd find that the drones, that's the things that play over your arm, the three stalks that go over your arm, are made from African blackwood. The ivory, the white part that shows on the slide of the drone is also made from ivory, which comes from Africa. The bag, which is covered up with the cloth bag, is made from elk hide, which comes from Canada. The chanter, that's the part of the bagpipe that makes the melody note, is made in the U.S. It's made from a plastic material. The cords that hold the drones together, they're made in Ireland. There's a valve that sits in the blowstick of the piper so the piper can take a breath. That's also made in Canada. So what you have is an instrument that Scotland claims is theirs, but not one part of it comes from Scotland. Now, we might as well tell you, the band, the whole band is not here. Unfortunately, when we agreed to come up and do the festival, we had hoped that we would have a big turnout with the band. We're very fortunate we have some of the dancers that play pipes in the band and some of the pipers, and I myself are the pipe major of the band. But we've been tied up for the past week in Tampa with the Queen's visit. The Britannica has been in town, and nobody got notice of this till the very last minute. And being as Dunedin, where y'all know is a little town on the west coast around Tampa, very Scottish community, about 35,000 people, they called over and insisted that the band perform for the Queen and for the Royal Yacht Britannica while the boat was in Tampa. As a matter of fact, this morning, we played here yesterday in the rain, and this morning two of us had to leave and go down, drive to Tampa, play down there for the ship, leave the rest of the band here and drive back to play tonight. So it's a pity we didn't have more, but we did bring some of the best ones with us, so I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. We're going to do one more dance now. We didn't tell you about the last dance. Two girls did the last one. It was called the Highland Fling. It's usually danced prior to battle or after battle. And I say battle because the Scots, believe it or not, I think that's the only thing they really did well was fight. I think every time that they got involved, it just seemed to be there had to be a battle to prove a point. So the dances were all very, very athletic dances, and were all done by men at one time. It's only been in the last 30, 40 years that women have even got the opportunity to dance Highland dancing, and of course wear the kilt. This next dance that Tammy's going to do is called the Sheehan Trews. The story behind this dance is that back in the 1700s, the English, who at that time dominated Great Britain, dictated policy to the Scots that they could not play the bagpipes and they could not wear the kilt. They felt the bagpipes was an instrument of war, and the kilt got them all stirred up to the point where that's all they wanted to do was fight. So they made them wear tartan trews, which was pants made from the same tartan as the clan that they were represented. Halfway through the dance, you'll notice that while she's dancing, she's imitating kicking as if she's kicking the pants off. The last part of the dance, you'll notice that she dances more free. It's when the pants have been kicked off, and now she's dancing with a kilt on. Again, these dances were basically done by men, so that the actions are very athletic, and now they're done by girls.
You can hear the City of Dunedin Pipe Band tomorrow at 2 o'clock. They will be playing for the Scottish Highland Dance over at the Folklife Area Stage 3. So you don't want to miss that. How about another round of applause? They deserve it. Our next performer is making his appearance at the Florida Folk Festival for the very first time. He's an honest-to-goodness British balladeer. He has been living in the United States since 1977. He's from London, England, and he's a very charming gentleman. Let's welcome, please, from Jacksonville, Arnold Graham Smith.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here at my first festival. I don't want to hit that one. I'm going to start by singing a song from Wales. Wales, as you know, is a little country that lies alongside England. It's never really been separated from England by a border. They feel somewhat hard about the English, I'm afraid. It's a mountainous country, and in the valleys between the mountains are coal mines. Now, as you know from relationships with the people in Kentucky, and more recently in the Soviet Union, coal miners feel they have a hard lot. And the coal miners of South Wales are no different. A young coal miner wrote a poem, a man called Idris Davis wrote a poem about the hard feelings that the miners have. And his poem was set to music by Pete Seeger. All of the story is told in the bells of the different villages. Just two towns alone, Cardiff and the Valley of Wye, speak a different tune because they're not coal mining towns. Oh, what will you give me? Sing the bells of their hope for the future. Sing the brown bells of Merthyr. Who made the mine owner? Sing the black bells of Rhondda. And who robbed the miner? Sing the grim bells of Blina. They will plunder willy-nilly. The bells of Caerphilly. They have fangs, they have teeth, sing the loud bells of Neath. Even God is uneasy, sing the moist bells of Swansea. And what will you give me? Sing the bells of Vandals in court, sing the bells of Newport. All will be well if, sing the green bells of Cardiff. Why so worried, sisters, why? Sing the silver bells of Wye. And what will you give me? Sing the bells of Rimini. Oh, what will you give me? Sing the sad bells of Rimini. Is there hope for the future? Brown bells of Merthyr. Who made the mine owner? Sing the black bells of Rhondda. And who robbed the miner? Sing the grim bells of Blina. They will thunder willy-nilly. Sing the bells of Caerphilly. They have fangs, they have teeth. Sing the loud bells of Neath. Even God is uneasy. Sing the moist bells of Swansea. And what will you give me? Sing the sad. Vandals in ports, sing the bells of Newport. All will be well if, sing the bells of Cardiff. the sad bells of All old countries have their own legends. England is a very old country, and it has its own share of legends. And legends unfortunately die out if the next generation doesn't get to learn about them. There is a legend that during the unknown childhood days of the boy Jesus, he was taken round the world by his parents and shown different countries so that when he began his ministry, he knew better what to do. And the legend goes that Jesus went to the village of Glaston in the West Country of England. And there, because of this religious legend, an abbey was founded, a very old abbey. It's about 7 centuries old, Glastonbury Abbey. Now, the legend is dying out. The children of today don't know about it. And so a school teacher put to music the story of the visit of Jesus to Glaston. And I'd like to sing you the song Bread and Fishes. It has a chorus, and as all folk audiences, they're musically attuned and they pick up choruses quickly. And if you can manage to join in with me on this one, I'd love it. As I was a-walking one morning in spring, I met with some travellers in an old country lane. The first was an old man, and the second a maid, and the third was a young boy who smiled as he said, "With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, there's a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind." Try it. With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, there's a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind. So I asked them to tell me their name and their race, that I might remember their kindness and grace. "My name it is Joseph, this is Mary my wife, and this is our young son who is our delight. With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, there's a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind." We're travelling to Glaston through England's green lanes to hear of men's troubles and to hear of men's pains. We travel the wide world on land and on sea to tell all the people how they can be free. With the bread in the willows and the birds in the sky, there's a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind. So sadly I left them in that old country lane, and I know that I never will see them again. The first was an old man, the second a maid, and the third was a young boy who smiled as he said, "With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, there's a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind." Thank you. I'm going to sing you the oldest song of the set that I'm singing tonight, about a midlife crisis which occurred about 200 years ago. A man called Spencer got himself into financial difficulties and took off and left his wife and children and rambled around the countryside trying to find his soul. He didn't find his soul, but he realized what he left behind, and he went home to them. So it has a happy ending. I'm going to sing you now Spencer the Rover. Thank you, Tim. These words were composed by Spencer the Rover, who rambled through England and most parts of Wales. He had been so reduced, which caused great confusion. That was the reason that he started to roam. At Rotherham in Yorkshire he had been on his rambles. Being weary of travel, he sat down to rest. At the foot of yonder mountain, there flows a clear fountain. With bread and cold water, himself did refresh. It tasted more sweeter than the gold he had wasted. More sweeter than honey, and gave more content. He thought of his babies, who were the him lamenting, and that was the time that he started to repent. Now the night fast approaching, to the woods he resorted, with ivy and woodbine his bed for to make. He dreamed of such sighing, lamenting, and crying, go home to your children and rambling forsake. Now the fifth day of November, I've a reason to remember, when first he arrived home to his children and wife. They were so surprised when he first arrived, once more to see this stranger again in their sight. Now his children gathered round him with their prittle-prattling stories, with their prittle-prattling stories to drive care away. And now they're united like birds of one feather, like bees in one hive, contented they'll be. And now he is a-living in a cottage with his family, with ivy and roses growing all around the door. He's as happy as them as has thousands of riches. Contented he'll be and go rambling no more.